If it feels like the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast has been talking about the Lakers a lot lately, well, it's because we have been. Laker drama continues, and today's podcast, on the road again. Actually, from the UCLA Health Center, where the Lakers train, right down the street from the LA Times building in El Segundo, the reason the Lakers introduced their new head coach, Frank Vogel. But the reason we showed up is because Monday morning, former Laker president, Hall of Famer, Magic Johnson, went on ESPN's First Take, explained why he stepped down with his role with the Lakers, about the dysfunction in the organization, how he and Rob Pelinka did not see eye to eye, and Magic essentially threw a lot of people under the bus. So we showed up at the press conference with our reporters, who were here to cover what was supposed to be the introduction of the new head coach, and it became a lot of questions about Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, the Rambis family, and what is going on with the Lakers. Yeah, it's a lot to take in. It's time for the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast. I'm your host, Bethel Duran. We'll be joined by our crack staff, Bill Plaschke, Tanya Ganguly, who covers the team, Arash Markazi, Dylan Hernandez. A lot coming your way right now. It just seems like the Lakers novella doesn't finish. It's time for the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast. It's Tuesday, May 21st.
Wanted to welcome everyone. This is an exciting, exciting day for us, I think, coming out of the Chicago Combine. There's just so much optimism thinking about where we are as a franchise right now. We have the world's best player on our team. We acquired the number 4 pick in the June draft. You know, we have the cap flexibility to continue to finish out this roster that we've been building over the last couple of years. And today, we are hiring and announcing the hiring of our extraordinary new coach, Frank Vogel. And we think Frank is the perfect coach to lead us in that endeavor. So with no further ado, I want to introduce Frank Vogel as the Lakers head coach.
Thank you, Rob. Hello, everyone. I want to start by thanking Jeannie Buss and the entire Buss family, Rob Pelinka, Kurt Rambis, for showing faith in me to be their next coach. This is obviously a proud and historic franchise. And it's a big honor for me to be here today and to be responsible for this next chapter of our history. The focus for our group has got to be to remain in the moment. Okay, there's obviously been a lot of outside noise like there is with every NBA team, but there's been a lot of outside noise that we're going to be tasked with blocking out. There's going to be a lot of talk of getting our team back into the playoffs and what the Lakers represent in terms of a tradition of competing for championships. Those are end result things. We are going to be focused on the work, the day-to-day, stay in the moment. How do we get better at practice? How do we win the next game? Focus on the task at hand, okay? And then those accolades, those achievements, those results, they will come. We need to build togetherness with our organization, okay? And I don't just mean with the 15 guys or 17 guys that are going to be in uniform or in that locker room. Okay, I'm talking about organizational togetherness, starting with ownership to the front office, to the coaching staff, the players, the trainers, the business side. Okay, we are all going to be pulling in the same direction. Okay, and this is something that I've always preached as the head coach, because you can accomplish amazing things, okay, if everybody is together.
So the way the press conference started, Vogel and Pelinka walk in with members of the Lakers front office, the media sitting down. And of course, a lot of the questions are going to be about Magic Johnson's comments Monday morning on ESPN TV. We know this. We know that Vogel's going to get asked a couple questions about his job, a couple softballs. But then the third one was from our very own Tanya Ganguly, who covers the team for the LA Times.
Rob, Magic Johnson did an interview this morning in which he said that he felt like you betrayed him when you guys were working together. What was your reaction to him saying that? And do you believe that's a fair assessment of your relationship?
I think the most important thing for me is the 2 years of getting to work side by side with Irvin are some of the greatest memories I have in sports and work. He's an unbelievable person to work with. He fills the room with joy and vision. And truly, it's saddening and disheartening to think he believes things are a misperception. I think all of us in life probably have been through things where maybe there's third-party whispers or he said, she said things that aren't true. And then I have talked to him several times since he decided to step away. We've had many joy-filled conversations. In fact, 2 days ago, we were reliving the combine and the fourth pick and talking about the great future that this franchise has. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening. But I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true. I stand beside him. I stand with him as a colleague, as a partner. I've always supported everything he's done and will continue to. And, you know, I think that's the best way to address that.
Tanya, obviously, thank you for breaking the ice, because, look, as much as we like Vogel, don't know him, but he's going to be well-liked by this players and the team and all that other stuff. But the elephant in the room is Magic Johnson's comments. Why did you ask that question right then and there?
I feel a little bad for Frank Vogel, because it's not his fault that this day was not about him at all. And I think at one point Rob Pelinka did say, like, we really want this to be about Frank Vogel. But that ship had sailed even before Magic Johnson made his comments. There were a lot of questions that the franchise had not answered yet. And it had been 6 weeks since Magic Johnson stepped down. Nobody from the front office, not one single person, had spoken about what had happened. Rob Pelinka was briefly available at the lottery. But when I asked him a question about the coaching search, and he said, I'm only taking questions about the lottery. So this was the first opportunity we had to talk to anyone from the front office. And even if Magic Johnson hadn't said what he said this morning, this press conference was not going to be about Frank Vogel.
Your tweet Monday morning was, hi, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, I was actually flying back to LA when all of that stuff started happening, and I was just reading, and I've been hearing from a lot of different people who either are fans of the Lakers or have been part of the organization in the past, and there's just so much drama, and people are confused by it or entertained, depending on their perspective. It was a crazy morning.
Now, for you as the beat writer, you have to keep tabs on all the news that's coming on. How hard has it been this offseason?
It's not been hard. It's just been nonstop work, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have that be my work. So, you know, there hasn't really been a pause in action for the Lakers since LeBron got here.
The playoffs are going on in the NBA, but the Lakers story obviously is the big news around the league.
Yeah.
And that's not just an LA perspective. It really is, because there's so many people who have an opinion about the team that care about the team. Heck, fans get tattoos of the Laker logo. So when they don't go to the playoffs and they see this and like the dysfunction and the backstabbing, and that's the only people who are saying it, people got to get tired of it.
What you said is really important. Fans care a lot about this and are wanting answers. I mean, I'm not important. Like, if they're not talking to the media, who cares? But they're also not explaining themselves to the fans. They haven't been explaining what's happening. They haven't been explaining who's in charge. Today was the first day that anyone in the organization publicly said there's not going to be somebody above Rob Pelinka.
This was the first time?
Today was the first time. We had all been reporting it for weeks, obviously, because that's what we had heard. But today they finally said it out loud, and Rob Pelinka was left to say that. So there was just all this confusion. I mean, for a while, fans were thinking maybe they'll bring in someone. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe they're just not telling the media. No, it was, they had a plan in place and they just didn't want to address people.
When you are doing your job and you're trying to confirm stuff like this, and you're being told one thing and maybe another thing, and who do you believe?
Well, I was never told multiple things on that front. Okay. I was told from the beginning they're not hiring. We had been reporting consistently since days after Magic Johnson stepped down. They're not bringing in somebody to take that role over. Like, I think there was maybe some discussion about whether or not they should do that, but pretty early on, they decided that they're not replacing that position.
And here's Pelinka talking about the elimination of that president of basketball operations role that Magic Johnson had.
Yeah, so we can be very clear on that. Jeannie's vision for the front office is, a couple years ago, she created a position that didn't exist prior to Irvin coming on board, a president of basketball operations, and she is going to eliminate that position because it was created entirely for Magic and no one can really replace what he does. So that would be that. And then two, in terms of our decision processes here, it's very clear and very simple. Now, when it comes to a basketball decision, I collaborate with the staff, many of whom are at this press conference today, and then I make a recommendation to Jeannie and she blesses that or not. So it's very clear and very simple. Kurt Rambis was hired a year ago as an advisor to the front office and to the coaching staff. He remains in that position and was a valuable resource throughout the process with his championship experiences of being on many staffs and winning for the Lakers and other and with other organizations. He was a really valuable resource in getting to this place of choosing Frank to be our next head coach, but his position hasn't changed.
You like that move? Don't like it?
It's a little bit disingenuous to say that they never had this role. They created this role for Magic Johnson. Technically, yes, they created the actual title President of Basketball Operations. But before Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka were in charge, Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak were in charge. And Jim Buss was, he is a part owner, but he was the executive above Mitch Kupchak. It's not exactly correct that they never had somebody in that role before Magic Johnson.
There's just so many layers to this organization. Tanya Ganguly does a great job covering the Lakers. And one day, you'll be able to take a vacation.
I'm planning to, so you can count on news happening then, too.
Guaranteed. Thank you, Tanya. Sports columnist Arash Markazi joins us now. Arash, you and I, we're pretty good at this social media game. So while the press conference is going on, Pelinka's talking, Vogel's talking, we look to the right, and up against the wall, standing underneath the Elgin Baylor number next to Wilt Chamberlain, is one LeBron James with a very colorful fit.
Yeah.
And were you surprised to see him here?
I was. You know, I was looking around during the press conference to see if I could see Jeannie Buss, and I did not. And as Vogel began talking, I saw LeBron walk in. So, I mean, he literally came in while Vogel first spoke. So at that moment, sort of like my focus shifted towards not only like LeBron and Josh Hart, but also but Kurt Rambis.
Picture, I tweeted it, and it's like, it just went, yeah. That's the picture everybody wanted to see.
Yeah, but it's also, you kind of want to figure out who's here, because there's a lot of people who we didn't talk to today that we've been talking about. Well, it began this morning, Beto, Magic Johnson's comments. So we kind of wanted to talk to Rob Pelinka and also the people that we haven't talked to yet, include Jeannie Buss, Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, Tim Harris. Those are the people that Magic kind of talked about today.
And we haven't talked to LeBron because LeBron hasn't spoken in a long time. The last game of the season, you and I were following him out of Staples Center and a security guard was telling us, don't record it because we're doing our own thing here. Yeah. We're like, well, you're not Staples Security. You can't stop us. But I did notice this, though, that as the beat writers are standing around Vogel and they're talking to him, this is after the press conference, we see LeBron in the background. Now, yeah. I'm not trying to say anything here, but man, he could have easily just walked away, but he made sure to get a ball and stand at the basket where all the cameras are shooting at. You went and you saw this and you started recording that. Why wouldn't he talk? Why even show up?
I think it was good that he showed up because I think he's showing his support for Frank Vogel, showing his support for the team. But I think he could have taken it maybe one step further, and whether he didn't want to or whether the team did not want him to. I mean, it would have been nice for him to say, listen, I have played against this man. I kind of have respect for him as a coach or whatnot. I mean, I think we haven't talked to LeBron since he got hurt at the end of the season. So it would have been nice for him to talk today. He didn't want to. But, you know, I'm sure on the next shop, we're going to hear what he has to say about Frank Vogel.
Well, if it's not on Arrive Early, Leave Late, we're not listening to anything. Arash Markazi, appreciate it.
Thanks.
We got to take a quick break, and then we'll pick this right back up.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Lucas Peterson, LA Times food columnist, and I think you'll be pleased to learn that the LA Times food section has relaunched both online and in print. We have excellent recipes, outstanding reviews, unbelievable local food news, all for you at the very affordable price of 99 cents for the first 4 weeks for online access and $1.99 per week after that. Find our content online every day and in print on Thursdays. Go to latimes.com/hungryLA to subscribe.
Tanya's been busy. That's the life of a beat writer. When you're a columnist, you get to write whatever you want, whatever you're thinking. And you can come up with any idea you want. Yeah, but she's got to give us the news, Bill Plaschke. And Bill Plaschke, you asked this question to Rob Pelinka.
Just to make sure we understand the chain of command, you answer to Jeannie Buss, and where does Linda Rambis fit into the equation?
You're right. There is a very clear and simple plan here. I make basketball choices after collaboration with the staff and make recommendations to Jeannie. The decision to hire Frank was something that I decided to do and recommended to her, and she agreed with that. That's how it'll be going forward. Linda Rambis is an incredibly trusted colleague and partner for all the employees at the Lakers. She's been here for decades. She has wisdom in how this business works, how this town operates, and the relationship capital and experience and knowledge base that she brings to the table is incredibly helpful to all of us.
Why did you ask him that question?
I wanted to get the name Linda Rambis into the conversation. She's the shadow owner. She has a huge influence on this team. This has all become clear in the last couple of months. I was the first one to write this, and everyone has since lined up and agreed that she is huge. And I wanted to know, who does he answer to? And he said he answered to Jeannie Buss, but then he called Linda Rambis a partner. So I'm thinking he understands to both of them. And I think this is a huge, that's the story here, right? Is the power vacuum in the Laker front office and who's running the show and whose voice is being heard. And that's why Magic went so crazy today and why Pelinka had to defend himself today. It's all a mess and it's all front office based.
Usually an organization that has so many trophies and banners and history and all that other stuff, you don't have to ask a question of, hey, what's the front office structure? How do we get to this?
Well, that's both the charm and the curse of the team. The charm is always, this is a family-owned team winning 16 championships. It's so wonderful. But now the curse is, this is a family-owned team and family-owned problems and family feuds. And Jeannie Buss refuses to go outside the family, leaves it all within the family and all within a tight circle of people and doesn't think big, doesn't think globally on the NBA landscape, doesn't think new or forward-thinking. And so you have a bunch of people fighting for turf because none of them are really qualified. If anybody was clearly qualified in there to run the basketball show, there'd be no fights. None of them are.
You would know what's going on. I looked around the gym. You see LeBron James in a corner.
Not speaking to the media, by the way. Of course. Terrible decision by him.
You see Kurt Rambis not too far away from him. And the last we saw Kurt Rambis, I can't really remember.
I remember. I was asking him questions. He filled in for Dell Harris back in, I believe it was 1999. And he was so awful as a Laker coach that they replaced him with Phil Jackson. So that's his big claim to fame here, is that he got him to hire Phil Jackson. He was a terrible coach in Minnesota, did terribly in New York. I don't understand it. I don't get it except the fact that he's married to Linda Rambis and she's a shadow owner. To me, it's that simple.
So it's the friends.
It's friends and family, probably, and that's what they're on.
Bill, you've been to so many press conferences over the years. A new coach gets introduced. But look, Frank Vogel's a big boy. He's making millions for this. He knows what he got himself into. He knew that today was going to be about Magic Johnson and Pelinka questions.
But I applaud Vogel, and I'm sure Dylan Hernandez is going to write about this. He was the one guy that seemed unaffected by everything.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed positive. I don't know if it's going to work, but he was up there trying to convince himself and convince us that everything was okay. He was a guy on the drowning fiery boat going down in flames saying, it's okay, it's okay. We're going to make it to the shore.
And then Frank Vogel recognizes great television, or as Dylan Hernandez said, terrible television. He says he watches you on ESPN.
Bill, how you doing?
Nice to meet you. I actually love Ron Horn and PTI. Like, DVR them, watch every day. And it's nice to see you.
So you have awful taste in television, though.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah. You know, before the Netflix movement, that was the only TV I would watch is, you know, Ron Horn and PTI.
That's because he didn't have time to say he reads me in the LA Times, which I hope he does.
Oh, he's going to get to know you. I liked the impression that Vogel gave to us. You know, Orlando, Indiana, he knows what he's getting himself into. But as you said, the positivity, at least he knows, hey, I got to talk to you guys.
He was kind of laughing at the whole thing, it seemed like. And even when Jason Kidd, you know, Dylan Hernandez, asked him, what's it like that everybody already knows your successor is going to be? And he answered it very good. He said, that's the way it is in every NBA bench. Everybody, every coach knows that their successor is sitting right next to him. So,
and they share an agent. They'll figure. Yeah, what a business it was for. What a day with the Lakers.
What an organization. Just when you think it can't get any crazier, it does.
Oh, you know, it will. Bill Plaschke, as always, thank you. Love you on Around the Horn and PTI and First Take and all the shows at ESPN that you do.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks. I really don't do any of those Around the Horn, but okay.
We are standing in, I think, a storage room. We don't want to go to the media room because all the other writers are actually writing and we don't want to interrupt them. And they're taking down the banner, the dais, the chairs, it's all gone. Now what's left is the Lakers practice, standing next to Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, of course, you and I would end up in the storage bin. The last interview we're going to do today. Dylan, you're interesting. You always come with a different angle. I can't believe you asked this to Frank Vogel.
So what was this like for you? This was supposed to be your introductory press conference, and it kind of turned into a weird like referendum on the entire franchise.
Different. Yeah, definitely different than I expected and different than I've ever been a part of, but I understand the line of questioning, you know, in light of the events of this morning. So you just roll with the punches.
Dylan, of course, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. It's the fact that Magic Johnson goes on ESPN and he talks about the way the Lakers organization was run while he was there as president of basketball operations. He steps down, all this other stuff. And Vogel is just, hey, Dylan, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he showed that he can kind of roll with the punches, right? I mean, it's going to be a very important skill here. Assuming, unless like things just kind of turn around. You know, my kind of question, I guess, though, is, right, he was trying to convince during the actual formal part of the news conference, kind of trying to convince everybody, like, hey, we have a positive situation here.
He did come off as positive.
And you can, right. Well, but it's like one thing. I mean, did you buy it?
Well, even when you said there's a lot of outside noise of the people who don't know what's going on in the organization, I'm thinking, you've only been here a week? Maybe like you really don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, it's easy to tell people to ignore that, right? It's a whole different thing to actually practice that. I mean, they were talking about that this past year, And look what happened in the wake of the whole Anthony Davis thing. I mean, the team fell apart, right? So it's one thing to say it. It's a whole different thing to practice that. Mm-hmm. And my question again is like, today I really felt that like this was the beginning of his sales pitch to his team, right? We have a lot of positive things here going on. This is the message he's going to give to them when they open training camp. That said, I thought he had trouble convincing a room full of sports writers that that was the case. I mean, I didn't buy it. I assume you didn't.
Did he come off as his golly G guy to you?
No, I mean, I think it's calculated because then we got into the scrum situation, right? And where I could kind of speak to him pretty directly. And I asked him obviously about how his introductory press conference turned into this referendum on the franchise about Jason Kidd being on the staff and people thinking he's going to take over.
Let's hear what you told him about Jason Kidd joining the staff and interesting answer.
Any discomfort in kind of the media having already appointed him your successor?
No, again, I'm very good at blocking out noise. I've been around this business a long time, and I really don't give that a second thought. Look, you can say that about every coach in the league about their assistant coaches. It happens from time to time. I believe if you treat people with the right respect and do the job at the highest level, build an environment of positivity and collaboration, that you can't worry about that stuff. You can't worry about looking over your shoulder. You got to worry about getting good damn coaches. And, you know, that's how I feel about this hire.
I think what we see there, right, is kind of this... Okay, that's not a friendly, warm question by any means. The forced laughter on his part, right? He's playing a part here. He knows that this is going to happen. And honestly, like my thing was, okay, when you ask this guy something uncomfortable, how's he going to react? As much of a people person as Luke was, there was something a little bit awkward about him when he would get pointed questions like that. This guy's handling this a little bit better.
Well, Vogel was under Rick Pitino at Kentucky, was one of his student managers. He went to Boston with him. So he's coached in Orlando. He's coached in the he has more coaching experience in dealing with the media, but he's never dealt with anything like this.
No,
nobody has. It's LA.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one thing to let things slide off your back. Now, the next question is, can you convince the players of this fundamental message that you have? And that to me is going to be the tough sell.
Dylan, you and I have known each other for a while. We were around some bad Dodger teams, bad Dodger ownership. It just, maybe you're the curse. Maybe that you show up and the team just going into dysfunction. Before you became a columnist, Lakers were rolling.
Yeah, how about the Rams?
What'd you do to them?
They got to the Super Bowl. They're NFC champions.
Did you go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
See? And they lost.
That's true.
No, but on a serious note though, your job as a columnist is to get people to think. But when you have an organization that right now it seems like there's too many people with opinions, that's not a good sign.
No, and that starts at the top. It actually reminds me a lot of the way the Frank McCourt front office was described to me, where he would solicit input from like so many different people. And all of a sudden, kind of the existing power structure got ignored, right? And people were trying to kind of go above their boss's head to go directly to McCourt in hopes of kind of currying favor and empowering themselves. Again, it always starts at these organizations, I'm sorry, but it always starts at the top. And it takes a certain type of intelligence. And this isn't to say Jeannie Buss isn't intelligent, but it requires a certain type of intelligence, I think, to choose the right person to run a business for you in a field that's outside of your expertise, right? Certain people have that gift. Obviously, the old man had it, right? I mean, he knew that Jerry West was the guy to do this. There's no evidence here that the Buss family, anybody involved right now, has that ability. So,
were you going to show up today for Frank Vogel's introduction press conference, no matter what?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, well, we showed up because the Magic and Pelinka news.
Oh, really?
I mean...
Oh, good for you guys.
Look, here's the thing. With the Lakers news cycle, it doesn't stop.
No.
It really doesn't.
You know, this will overshadow whatever happens. I think, is Kershaw pitching today or tomorrow or something? Right? It kind of doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Right?
The NBA playoffs are going on right now, but it's Lakers, Lakers,
it's
Lakers.
It's all Lakers.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you.
A lot to take in from the Lakers practice facility. We're actually standing near the free throw line, and I'm looking up. Banners upon banners upon banners. Retired numbers. Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Jerry West, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Worthy, Goodrich, Wilkes, Shaq, Kobe, both of them. And directly in front of me, the Laker championship trophies. It's been a while since the Lakers made the playoffs. It's been a while since it's been normal. And the LA Times will continue to follow all the development of the Lakers. Summer's not even here yet. Free agency isn't even here yet. See what happens with them. Thanks to everybody involved with the podcast, Lakers PR, for letting us into the facility. The Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast, produced by Dave Wine, engineered by Mike Heflin. I'm your host, Bethel Duran. As always, download, rate, subscribe, and share. Let us know what you're thinking. And we appreciate you listening to the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast.